today, we're going back into the book of Acts. You know, our month away that we've been out of the book of Acts, it's been an excellent time looking at Christmas, looking at New Year's, shaking things up a little bit, and then, just going along and going with the Word of God. Today, we return back to Acts chapter 6. Last time we were there, we looked at Lydia. We looked at the fact that Lydia was there. She was a seller of purple that had moved from Thyatira. She was there and she had moved there. She had her business there of being a seller. And something they didn't have there, like in every other city that Paul would go to, they had no synagogue, no place for the Jewish population to worship in. So we meet up with Lydia, and they meet by a river. What a great place to have a prayer. I've got peace like a river. What a great place for a service. And so she hears the word, she's consoled, she believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the last thing we know, or that we saw, is that she invited Paul and Luke and those that were with him to stay with her, constrain them to stay with them at the place. So we pick it up now where we meet another certain person. It's amazing that in the book of Acts, just looking at this word certain, always dealing with specific people, it's used 58 times just in the book of Acts. So today we're going to be looking at a certain damsel. We looked at Lydia last time. She was a certain woman named Lydia. Harkens back to a certain man who was lame at the temple gate in Acts chapter 3. We have another certain man that was Simon the sorcerer, and so many other cases throughout the book of Acts. And the idea that Luke has given us, he's saying this is historic. These were real people. These were real events that actually took place. These are not fairy tales, as many people think the Bible is. It was a certain man. And today, a certain damsel or young servant woman that was there. So we're going to pick it up. We're going to read the book of Acts starting in verse number 1 today to kind of get a little refresher right from there. And then we'll read through. Let me figure we'll read through. You're thinking I'm going to say through the whole chapter. Oh, 16. Yeah, chapter 16. We can go back to 6 and start there again. Yeah, let's just read through verse number 19. So Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 19. So there came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. See the word? Watch for just in here. A certain disciple that was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. That's the message in Acts chapter 15 there. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. All these certains. I love these certains when you put them together. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when he was baptized, and when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come unto my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, and as we were picking it up today, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And Lord, we just pray that you would add your blessing to your word this morning. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Drew them? What did they say, through? I guess it's kind of the same thing, because they kind of dragged them along, you know, and went. They took them by force. But yes, my eyes still aren't what they should be, and that's why you see me. I'm up here changing reading glasses like Imelda Marcos changes shoes, you know, to try to focus right. Ask me about who Imelda Marcos is later, but nonetheless, here was Paul, Paul and Silas being drawn into the marketplace or the court. I have, you know, when I think of that, I think of when did they start naming malls, food areas? They started calling them the food courts. It was the marketplace. It was a center of activity. You took somebody that was a perceived criminal and you brought them into the marketplace, put them, made an example of that criminal before everyone. So that was the whole marketplace that was in the ancient world. You know, you did a crime, they took you right out and made you a spectacle to everyone. And on that note, Jesus Christ and his crucifixion in the same manner was a spectacle that was seen by all. You know, and after he rose again, it was a giant parade that all the world knew what had happened. And still so many people are blinded by the God of this world for the knowledge of the cross. It was openly crucified, openly buried, and openly resurrected. Still, people, nothing to see here. We want to discount that. But let me get to today's stuff. So we see in this narrative, we see this damsel, this certain damsel. And there she was, following Paul, much like Simon the sorcerer followed Peter in Acts chapter 8. He followed him and learned of him, learned what to do, and then right away he tried to purchase the power that Peter had of the Holy Ghost with money so he could replicate or duplicate the miracles that Peter did. By the way, those miracles were apostolic miracles that only Peter and those apostles like Paul had the authority from God to do. So here we have this certain damsel that she is She followed Paul. And she said what seemed like the right things. But there's an old expression that we often use, is that even a broken clock is right twice a day. I don't know how that works in the digital age, but nonetheless, you know, the example is there. Even those who are wrong in so many things are often right in certain things. But there's a little more to that than exactly that. So the people are like that. She spoke a truth. I'm getting tangled up here. She spoke truth. Anybody remember Dragnet? And what was the theme in there? In a court situation, do you promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? This damsel told the truth, but she didn't tell the whole truth. We'll get to that whole truth in a bit. She told the truth, but she practiced, because of who she was, she practiced one of the greatest sins there is that law of omission. She forgot, I shouldn't say she forgot, she purposely, through her spirit, didn't mention the most important person, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. She was typical of those people of that day, of those God and goddess worshipers of that day. They regarded Jesus as just another part of the pantheon of all different gods. These are servants of the Most High. Listen to them. If you listen to them, you'll be like me. You'll make my masters rich. Sounds like a similar message we see today in much of the church and in the world today. They actually have good doctrinal statements, but at the same time, it's just window dressing to causing great gain from the masses. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. You don't have to go there, but if you want to check the context out here, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." I think of this young damsel. You know, she didn't come as an evil-looking person. She came a young servant girl, a young slave girl. Young, I feel bad for her. She's a slave. I feel bad. Oh, she's so cute, but so destitute. She must be speaking the truth. So often people come like that, not looking like the Grim Reaper. I always think of that. If the Grim Reaper were to walk through the door, I think we'd recognize that this guy's not that good. This guy is evil. And the entertainment world today, not just today, all through the past, what do? They have a stark contrast between what is perceived as good and what is perceived as evil. You know, I think of the Wizard of Oz.
My little pretty!
Then on the other side is, I'm Glinda, the Good Witch. She's perceived. She's dressed in white. She doesn't have a green face like her sister, the Wicked Witch. Where was she from? The North? I don't remember where she was from. The West, the Wicked Witch of the West. Glinda was from the South, right? She was a Southern Belle. Look how gracious and happy I am. But as an old expression that I made up, a witch is a witch is a witch. Whether it's a beautiful witch or whether it's the green-faced hag with the broom, that's the perception that Hollywood and culture in general makes. This stark contrast. Star Wars. Darth Vader, I am your father, Luke. But the force for good. Good entertainment. But it's the same force as the force for bad. Kenneth Copeland, different teachers in the church teach about the force. You have a force of faith. You need to learn how to manipulate that force. You can use that force for good or for evil. It's your decision. Paul, who later named God, told him to change his name from Paul to David Yonggi Cho. I think he passed away or he had allegations of all kinds of sexual misconduct, which is no surprise from these clowns. Years ago, claimed to teach the fourth dimension. You need to pray in the fourth dimension. What is that all about? It's visualizing your dreams, your aspirations, the things that you desire in your head. When I was researching him at the same time, I knew somebody that worked for digital, and they went through a training program that was filled with these kind of things. Visualize yourself on a beach. I listened to some of his tapes. Yes, tapes at the time, cassette tapes, to just see what was going on. Nice soft music. You're on a beach. You're looking at the waves. You're counting the waves. Next minute, you're out. You're down for the count, but yet the same spirit is working. Leviticus 19, verse 31, says these simple words. Says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. I'm into singing lately. All that. Seek not those. Seek not those things that they have or that they are. So we have this certain damsel. Again, the word damsel means a young woman. Usually it means a young woman who's a servant or slave. She's one that is working for somebody else. You know, I think she would probably be in the modern day. Remember late night television? If you ever stayed up late night, you'd have called 1-800 and talk to the medium on the other side, and she's going to tell you everything that you're going to have happen to your life. She would have been right there. She would have been taking those 1-800 calls, and her masters would be making great gain on the people, because the people want to know the future. The people want to know what's coming in their life, even if people have to lie to it. Unfortunately, today everything is positive. A couple weeks ago, I started listening to the messages by prophets about 2021. The same message as 2020. 2021 is going to be a year of abundant harvest. 2021, Joshua Mills, who's one of my favorite lunatics out there, proclaimed that the God told him that 2021 was going to be a year of creative miracles. You are going to be able to create your own reality. God's going to show new colors. I want to tell him, just come into our church on a sunny day. There's some pretty new colors that come through the stained windows. But all this power upon yourself and self-empowerment to lead you astray. This is evidently what happened with this damsel. She was led astray to work for gain. Hey, it's a pretty good job if you can get it, I guess. Again, this certain person, this certain damsel, in verse number 16, I have to untangle myself again. And look what happened here. Remember where Paul was here? He was with Lydia. And look at it. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Now this is a way of looking at things here. Think of it. As they went to prayer, this certain damsel came along. This certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us. Have you wondered this? Have you thought of this? How often is it when you seek out to do something that is godly? You set out to read your Bible, The phone rings. You set out to prayer. Suddenly you smell the burning roast in the oven. You set out to do things of God, and there is opposition by the enemy. The enemy doesn't want you to be involved with your Savior. Why? Because you're dangerous to the enemy. And that's not a prosperity message right there. Truly, the message of the gospel is dangerous to Satan. Dangerous to all of the demonic realm, because that gospel is complete. It's sufficient for us. And what we do in our life is we try to know that this God who knows us better than anybody else can. That's our goal. To know Him. I think that's a song, right? I want to know Him. Lord, I want to know You. That's the our basic premise that we have in this world. Every time. I can count probably over and over the times. And the problem has been I've made the promise that I'm going to do more godly things. I am going to set myself to do this, and what happens? The cares of this world come in. The cares of the world come, and they take us away from the things of God. It's a natural thing. Look in the mirror. Look at our flesh. I was talking to Amy this morning. I said, you think of it. We're nothing but sagging flesh. Nothing good in us at all. Like I said last week from Romans chapter 6, there's no second chances with us. We're dead. We're dead in Christ. We'd mess things up if we got a second chance. Amen. That's a reality that we have. Spiritual endeavors are always attacked. You don't have to go to church. Well, I would agree, you don't have to go to church, but it's a blessed privilege to go to church. It's amazing how much. You don't have to read your Bible. It's not mandatory. But it's incredible when you do read the Bible. And sadly, it's not just this damsel woman who was a pagan. Sadly, it's the body of Christ. How many of us, where's the mirror, can have apathy towards the things of God, when it was God who was proactive and unapathetic in coming to us? It's amazing how that happens. The world, as we saw just a few minutes ago with the Wicked Witch, is the Hollywood things glamorizes. Beautiful wickedness makes a distinction between black and white through their depictions. And yet, Satan comes as an angel of light. Satan likes to do good things. Satan wants to bless you. Believe it or not, he'd love to give you all the riches you need. He'd love to keep you satisfied with the things of this life. He'd love to have you concerned about who's going to be in office for 4 years. All those things are temporary. All those things will pass. By the way, I was looking out back. If you ever want to read a good book, a great testimony, and I thought we had it, maybe somebody has it borrowed, is a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil, by Johanna Michelson, who was involved with the occult. Another one here, I have them here, Warren Smith, A Wonderful Deception. Beautiful. It's a wonderful life that's offered to you by the system of the world. But yet, it's a wonderful life. Isn't that a movie too? It's devoid of Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. The Word of God, along with the God of the Word, so often takes a back seat to our own endeavors, when the reality is that He is our prime reason that we even have life today. The prime reason we have abundant life in Him, in realizing our position we have in Him. So this certain damsel, as they went to prayer, perfect timing, always good timing. Everything goes wrong when you're about to pray or things come in the way. That was the priority that they had. Didn't stop them. Notice she followed them, right? Paul and them, they kept on going to where they were going, and she followed them for quite a long time as well. They didn't stop and turn back and say, listen here, let's meet you in your place. Let's reconcile this together. Maybe you and I can make a pact together. We'll sign some kind of Lausanne covenant, and we can have fellowship with darkness, and we can make this world one happy place. They didn't do that. They kept on going. She followed them. Much like Peter had Simon the sorcerer following him, Simon was learning. Remember, if you go back and read chapter 8 of the book of Acts, he was learning. He sat there, and today he'd have his tablet out, and here's what Peter did here, and here's what he did there, and talks about the resurrection. Then all of a sudden, blammo, where can I buy this power? He was learning for his own benefit, that he wanted to have that power. And this is the same thing the damsel was doing. It wasn't about power, but it says right in the text, it was because of her masters, she brought great gain to them. Today, I am convinced, if that damsel were alive today, she'd own a Christian bookstore. One of the most dangerous places you can go to today, because there is so much darkness that appears as light. Now, we'll look at that reason in a couple minutes again. The spirit of divination is what she had. That's interesting. We don't have time to go into the whole history of that, but all of you have probably heard of the oracles of Delphi. I find it still amazing that a couple of the top tech companies in the world are Oracle and Delphi. Isn't that amazing? And you need Google to look into both of them. But Oracle is a word. You know, Paul told in the book of Romans that the Jews have every blessing above everyone else because the oracles of God were given exclusively through them. See, that's our position we have with the Bible. We have those oracles of God that were given to Israel, preserved for Israel, the prophecies are for Israel, and then we have the New Testament that was given and preserved as well. So we see the source of this spirit of divination. It came from Apollo. The great god Apollo in a cave in Greece. Dan, have you ever gone to Delphi at all? You know, they didn't let you out of Albania then. Or Bulgaria. Oh, I said, that was bad. I said Albania. But there it was, a prominent place. Delphi would be like a Marian shrine someplace. People would flock to it. It was where Apollos beat up the original spirit that was there, which was a giant serpent. That's what Pythos means. It means serpent power. And Apollos then, because he beat up that serpent, he then became the wisdom of the serpent. Now, if you think of it, think of all of the serpent power that's around in the world today. Think of the practice of yoga, which is accepted as a science, falsely so-called. Serpent power. That's what Kundalini means. Serpent power. Only that serpent doesn't reside in a cave. That serpent resides at the bottom of your spine. You just need to go to a chiropractor and release it. Or twist your body and make your body, you know, go basically numb so that spirit can be unleashed. And that serpent can give you power. It's amazing how that happens. So the serpent power, pythos, that's what the word spirit of divination means. Pythos, right from Python. Pythagorean mathematics, Pythagorean triangle. There's a lot of the same roots. Are triangles evil because they came from Pythagoras? No. Are clocks evil? You just think we have to have discernment here. Clocks came out of Sumeria. The round clock came from a wicked place. Does it make the clock evil? No. Does it make going to Delphi necessarily evil? Well, if you're going to hear the voice of God from there, that's what makes it evil right there, because God only speaks through the oracles that he preserved that we have right before us. It's amazing. A modern incarnation of the oracles of Delphi, Mike could tell you about this, sit down with him sometime, started out in Babylon, but it makes a big appearance in Native American culture. You need to go to the well. It's like a cave, where in there you can tune in to God. You can tune in by in those caves through drumming and chanting and all these different things. You can be still and know that I am God. It's there. Christians are practicing that. I think a couple of years ago, during the Send was going on, Lou Engels, drumming up this by having Native American worshipers on stage with him, drumming up the same type of spirit. And there are places, if you look up, you can find the Well Christian Community. And they found other places in North Carolina, through the mountains there, where they found caves. And they are getting the Spirit of God through those caves and calling it Christian. This is the same spirit that this woman had. The same wisdom of the world that is so much accepted. We go on here. The same type of thing, the same woman's, we'll call it her meology, her theology, was used for gain for her masters, but yet this very same thing still takes place today. It's called modern medicine. Holistic medicine. Is there some good holistic medicine? I'm sure there is. So I think a lot of modern medicine, just the normal traditional medicine, I think it falls short in a lot of places. But yet, there's a lot of this science, falsely so-called, that's called medicine today. Just 20 years ago, if you dared look at a hospital, you would never see that they have yoga programs. It's in the hospitals. It's in healthcare. It's everywhere. You can't escape it. It's such a common thing today, but yet it's the wrong spirit. When I was a kid, I was fascinated by a pitcher. I can't even think of his name. Drago was his last name. Dick Drago, I think it was. And they would parade on TV how he believed in TM, transcendental meditation. He'd go to the back of the mound and he'd have his own little prayer thing at the back. And they would parade that. TM, that's emptying your mind. Emptying your mind so this God can come inside. But it's not the God of the Bible. Again, the advancement in the medical field. Our networking companies have these very same names taken from Delphi and Oracle and all these things. And again, if you can find, if we have it back there, again, check out The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. It's a testimony of the light. It was another Warren Smith book, The Light That Was Darkness. Jesus said, be careful that your light be not darkness. There's so much that appears to be good, but is actually evil. was practical for her to have the spirit of divination, because which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or prognosticating the future. She could prophesy like everyone. She was correct with her analysis that Paul and them were from the Most High. She was totally correct. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Amen. That clock has gotten right one time today, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know, it's interesting that her declaration and decree was right. That would be accepted by most of what's called the church today. So many people just say, "Well, you mention the name Jesus, that makes you a Christian." It's like going into McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Who's that? This is Keith Green, I think. Yeah, so true. If I go into McDonald's, that immediately I'm identified with a Big Mac. I guess so. But it's the same premise that we have. The simple truth, like many, is that she left out the most important part of the faith. Something so obvious, but so often still overlooked. Namely, or to wit, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthians, who had the similar problem, they were listening to false teachers. He said to them in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "I seek to know nothing among you than Christ crucified." That is the beginning. That is the end of our faith right there. Christ crucified. She conveniently left that out. She wasn't, you know, it was the once forever sacrifice of Christ that's the most important thing. Unfortunately, today people follow miracle Jesus, wafer Jesus, Jesus that'll be your boyfriend or girlfriend, depending on how you look at it. Jesus that'll be my buddy, my bellhop, my cosmic waiter. All these different things, they're all false Christs. So that was conveniently left out. You know what she was hoping for, her masters were hoping for? They were hoping to get some trinkets into their wares. They made a lot of money selling pagan, I almost said omelets, but amulets. Pagan jewelry, pagan necklaces, pagan gods. You know, you were something. You were measured by your God sitting on your mantle. "Well, I got to be like him. He's got a 3-foot-high statue of Zeus. He's someplace." So they did it. It's like I said, going into a Christian bookstore. You could buy necklaces, kerchiefs, masks, all kinds of things. Naming the name of Jesus Christ, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I be great gain. Just think, Paul could have, if he believed them, he could have opened the Burning Bush bookstore in Philippi. "Lydia, take your wares, take your seller of purple, and you can combine it with the latest fad. Maybe you can find purpose." Rick Warren and Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, and all these people, Andy Stanley, they would fit right in. Just this Jesus that'll fulfill you. "When you wish upon a star," right? "Your dreams come true." That would be the national anthem of that. When you look to that, your dreams can come through. Beware of any sense of the gospel that robs the Lord Jesus Christ of his glory, strength, and power, and relegates it to some trinkets. or even relegates it to the power of some man who is the Lord of glory. Man, that's, I can't remember the rest of it from Psalm 24. The Lord of glory. He's holy. He's just. He's compassionate. Let's go to verse 18. Look at Paul's patience. Paul's patience in verse 18. And this did she many days. Many days she was declaring and decreeing that these were servants of the Most High God. You know, I think I look at that as Paul being patient with her. Paul knew that she was missing the element that was there, knew that she was missing the testimony of Jesus Christ. But Paul was patient. That's why you could pen, as much as lieth in you, do good to all men, if possible. She was there. She was in the audience of Paul preaching the Word of God. Again, the testimonies of Kathy's sister and Gordon, Kathy's friend, just there. They've been witnessing the Word of God. That's what Paul was doing. Paul continued his message in spite of her with this hope. After all, he desired above all things that even his countrymen that had been rejecting him would be saved. Surely this young woman would hear the truth, and she would be like Lydia, and God would open her heart and be prepared for what would come next. She'd have to leave that idolatry. She'd no longer be able to sell those trinkets for her masters. She was a great marketing ploy for them. That was it. We don't know what happened to her, only that the demon that was inside of her, this python spirit, Paul cast it out. I don't know what happened. Maybe that's some cause for examination. What happened to that young damsel? Was she just kicked to the curb and killed by her masters because she no longer was a profitable servant? Was she like many that are in something similar, prostitution, that is when they get beyond their usefulness, are just kicked out? Or could she have perhaps believed the words of Paul, the words of God, and rejected the oracles of Delphi, rejected the paganism that was full of confusion? I don't know. These are questions to ask. But what did Paul do? He kept right on going. He preached. He taught. He talked of the mystery. He taught those around them the things pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ and elevated him. He knew that she was either, number one, she had ill intentions, like Simon the sorcerer again in chapter 8. His intent was to capitalize on the gift of God. Or could it be that she was simply ignorant of the truth? I think B is probably the most common thing. So many people today, even in Christianity, are ignorant of Jesus. So many people just go along to get along. Why do you go to church? Well, because everybody else does. Why do you do this? I don't know, my next door neighbor does it. It's typical, it's practice. But the reality is we have our Bibles. We have the scriptures which have the entire canon of truth for us today. We don't have any reason to be ignorant. Ignorance only goes so far. Then you have to start paying attention. And that's what Paul's message was. Pay attention. I can picture. I'm thinking, I'm kind of speculating a little bit here. I'm thinking those around Paul, knowing that he knew that this woman was on the wrong side of the fence as far as salvation. I could picture her being well known in the area. You know, a regular person, a regular worker that was out selling the wares of her employer. How come this guy, Paul, if he's supposed to be this apostle, why is he not just kicking her to the curb right away? It was his patience and his desire that they would, that she would hear the word of truth, and that word of truth would do the work of convicting her of her sin, and that she would trust the Lord for salvation rather than all of the gods that were before, all the pantheon of all the gods. There was only one that could save, one that has the preeminence out of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone has the power to save and to keep one saved as well. And let's look at verse 19 for a second. This is kind of a transitional verse, of course, because through this time, remember, we started out that they went to prayer and they had this interruption, like everybody has. Now, they're preaching the truth. And then what happens next? Verse number 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Then if you go ahead, peek a little bit ahead. And Paul and Silas are in prison. One of the most famous Bible stories of all. It's based on Paul and Silas being put into prison. The Philippian jailer is a model of salvation. Sirs, after the earthquake, similar to Peter in Acts chapter 12, after the earthquake and everybody being set free and nobody going anywhere, the Philippian jailer said these words, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm paraphrasing and going off of memory, which is not all that good sometimes. But the words were, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Apollos and Apollo, two different people. Not Apollo, not Zeus, not Diana, not any of the deities. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy household." The message wasn't just for him, it was for his household. This is the way of salvation. So what do we do? No matter what's going on around you, there is a damsel woman someplace. There is somebody trying to sell you a bill of goods that holds no water. But what's our answer? To believe the Lord. Sounds so simple until we go back to square one. As we are on our way to prayer, a certain something wants to rob us of our joy that we have in Christ Jesus. So what can we say? I remember Buzz Lightyear. Let me make a Buzz Lightyear. And his enemy was Zurg, or Zurge. Zurg. Yeah. I get Surge and Zurge mixed up. Zurg, and he was out to destroy Buzz. And he says, "Not today, Zurg. Not today, Zurg. I'm not going to have anything with you." And the reality, when we go to do something for the Lord, something inevitably will get in the way of that. And you know what you can say? You can say, "Not today, Zurg." Zurg is just another picture of another god, another demon, basically. "Not today, Zurg. Not today, Satan. Not today, devil. Not today, demon. Because I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm going to put my eyes back on the prize from where that high calling came and set my affection on not just things in heaven, but I'm going to set my affection on Him because that's where He is. He's in heaven. And I can set my affections. Oh, how I look for to go on trips sometimes. I love to see that I have my seat paid for. I have my reservations. Oh, good, I got a window seat. I don't have to sit between two people. And that's the destiny that I look forward to. But when we look at the Lord and we think, we have our seat reserved in heavenly places. We're already there. It's been paid for. It's been accomplished. There's no need to follow any other. There's no need to trust all the things that come against that simplicity of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Basic faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's our message that we have today. That's the message that will stand. That's our only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus and His work that He did on the cross. Amen. So as we think of that certain damsel that gets in the way, think of it. Your high calling in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't God good when you think of that? No matter what, He just cuts through all of the other stuff around. I'm glad my election is in heaven, not here on earth. Amen.